for a procedure. And we believe that is something minor. But nothing is minor when the doctor has to put you under.
But for the past 4 to 5 weeks, my wife is not with me. And it's just simply because she had a minor procedure. After it was finished, the doctor told her that give her 2 weeks to come back for her to check her out. We went back, and it was still minor. Last Thursday, which was another 2 weeks, we went, and it was still minor. But this time, the doctor sent her to another doctor. I was there last Thursday evening, waiting downstairs in the garage or in the parking lot for her to call and say she's coming out. We were there 1:30, and I was there until 6 o'clock. And she called. I couldn't go up into the where she was. She said, "Lloyd, the doctor's not here yet." And finally, she called me at 7 o'clock and said the doctor going to keep her until Friday. Friday, about 12 o'clock, I called her, and she said she hadn't seen the doctor yet. Then she called me a little later and said she's sending her home. I didn't ask any more questions. I just jumped in the car and drive. I'm not talking about Brooklyn or Queens. It was all the way at 67th Street in Manhattan. When I got there, I called her. I said, what exit you coming through, the front door or the side door? And she didn't answer. And finally she answered. She said, "Lloyd, the nurse said," I said, "I do not want to talk to the nurse. Please let me talk to the doctor." And she put me onto the nurse, and the nurse said, "This is all I can say to you, Mr. Allwood. Who are you?" And I said, "That's Mrs. Rose Allwood, husband." I said, "Can I speak to the doctor?" Immediately the doctor came and said, what she wants to do, it could be done in Long Island, but she would want, like, she'd rather do it in the hospital. So she won't be coming out tonight. She may be coming out tomorrow, which was Saturday or Sunday. Now, I wasn't able to look at my wife to talk to her, so you know how I feel downstairs. Yesterday evening, she called, and she didn't know whether or not she's coming home. Now, I was preparing to speak, and you know, if you, especially if you're a speaker, you know what that does to you. And finally, at 7 o'clock, she called and said, "Lloyd, the hospital is sending me home in one of their vehicles." It changed me a little bit, because you know what is going on in the world that we live in today. Sending home somebody in a taxi that you do not know who's driving the taxi. But thanks be to God, at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, she rang the bell and I was able to go and receive her. I give God thanks. This morning she got up, she was going to make me breakfast. I said, "No, stay in your bed. I will get breakfast at church." Thank God. She's doing much better. And in the will of the Lord, we may see her next week or the following week. God is good. Praise the Lord. Now, again, one more thing I'm going to say, and I know sometimes some of the especially sisters don't like when I say this. But you see the group that sang here this morning, and that little girl here, she's about the age of my second grandson. My son was going to correct him one day. And you know what? He's 7 years old. You know what he said to his father? "Daddy, is it going to be mercy or grace?" If you know the scripture, you know what that means. My brother, thank you for taking care of your family. Every time I watch her move, the reason why she can't move like that, it simply means that she's learning something at home. Amen. Praise be to God. And good tidings is making to move for the better. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father,
the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we give you thanks and praise for who you are.
Lord God and Father, we thank you for the invitation to come this morning to worship and to praise you. Lord God and Father, we thank you for sending your Son for one specific purpose, and that was for our redemption. We thank you, God, that all the hymns and the scriptures and the prayers that went up this morning is to praise and magnify your glorious name. Lord God and Father, we thank you for those of us who know you and your Son as our Savior. And we are praying, oh God, for those who do not know you, or for those who know you but are drifting. We thank you for this lady who said this morning, pray for my son. Lord God and Father, we need prayer. We need, oh God, to draw closer to you day by day. We need to reach out, oh God. And Lord God and Father, what I have to say this morning, I'm asking you, oh God, to take me out of it and let the words be from you. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise in and through the worthy name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when you come to the worship service like this morning, sometimes you have a hymn to give out and you may want to sit down a little bit. It happened to last week. I'm ready to give out a hymn. And my beloved brother Bonnie gave out the hymn. You know what I said? Praise be to God.
Brother Cato gave out read a scripture this morning. And again, Brother Archie
mentioned something about it.
The third book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. What Brother Cato said and what Brother Bonnet said, I'm going to mention something very short about Leviticus and one of the great
evangelist of the Bible, Peter. When I get there, I'll let you know. But we're going to turn to the scripture right now.
This, what I'm going to be reading, is not exactly where I'm going to deliver God's message from, but it's going to be lead into it.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 15.
The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
Now we know that Jesus Christ was baptized, and after he was baptized and he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All three persons of the Godhead was at Jesus' baptism. And immediately after that, he was taken up into the wilderness to be tempted. I like to rather say to be tested of the devil. And after that was finished, Jesus returned. And he went to certain places before
he went to this by the sea.
Verse 16 of Matthew 3. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has come down. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach
and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 18. And Jesus walked by the sea of Galilee.
He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother,
casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And I like to add this, they were fishers of fish. Then he said, Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Praise the Lord. We go on to Matthew 8, verse 14. Just a short portion of a verse.
Peter's mother-in-law was ill with a fever, and Jesus healed him. Of all the disciples, I believe Peter is the only one that we sure that he was married.
And the reason why we know that, if he wasn't married, he would not have a mother-in-law.
Okay. We move on to Matthew 14, verse 22 to 23. Peter tried to walk on the water.
The reason why I'm using Peter's name so many times, apart from Jesus himself, the only other person whose name mentioned so often in the scripture was Peter and the Apostle Paul. I think the Apostle Paul's name was mentioned much more often than Peter.
Peter tried to walk on the water to go to Jesus because Jesus went out with them and Jesus stayed behind and prayed for a long time while the other disciples went out on this, was going home in a boat. And this Jesus walked on the water to catch up with them. And when they saw Jesus coming, they were scared and believed they saw a ghost. And they were very scared. And Jesus calmed them by saying, fear not, it is I. And when Peter heard the voice of Jesus, he immediately cried and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto you.
And Jesus said, come.
Peter get out of the boat and walking to go to Jesus. And just for a moment, Peter's eyes came off Jesus and look at the wave. And when he looked at the wave, he started to go down.
And Peter offered one of the shortest prayers in the Bible.
You know, sometimes we ask somebody to pray a short prayer and they go all around the world. If Peter had done that, you can say it again, he would have been drowned.
Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hands and lifted him up. And they went back into the boat.
One of the reasons why I like to mention, why I talk about Peter today, is that Peter says so many things, and some of them were very good things he said. But I'm wondering, with the other 11 disciples, how many of them were mocking him? You know, sit in the boat, where are you going? Jesus will come in.
Peter wanted to walk and go to Jesus, and Peter is the only other person other than Jesus that walk on water. Am I right?
If you know, if I'm wrong, tell me, and don't tell me now, wait until when I finish.
Another time that Peter's name was mentioned, it mentioned four times. And after this, I'm going to get exactly to
what I want to talk about. And I'm not going to be late, brother, my beloved brother. It was when Jesus rose from the dead and he walked with his disciples and many other folks saw him. I think he spent 40 days
and speak to other people so that they know that he was not in the grave anymore. And Peter one day said, you know what? I'm going to fish. I'm going back to my regular job. I'll go fishing. And I think three or more of the other disciples said, I go with you. And they went, and as you know, just as I do, they caught nothing. But Peter told him where to cast their net. And they said, Jesus, we did it all night and we caught nothing. But because you said this, we are going to do it. And the story is, they caught so many fishes that the boat was almost broken.
And when somebody said, Peter was further away from the other disciple, and somebody said, "It is the Lord." And Peter was half naked.
And when he saw Jesus, he put on his clothes, and I believe he
ran out. I don't know if he came on the boat or if he swam out,
but he ran to Jesus.
And when they came on the land with the ship, with the boat, with fishes,
lunch or breakfast was already prepared for them. Now the question is, who prepared it? Don't answer. I believe it's Jesus. And if Jesus prepared it, could you imagine how nice those fish were? Cooked by Jesus. And after the feast and was over, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" The first time Peter said yes, and Jesus said,
I think Jesus said, "Feed my lamb or feed my sheep."
And Jesus asked him again, and Peter said, "Yes, I love you."
And the third time, Peter said something that I really looked at and read it over again. Peter said to Jesus, he was somewhat angry, Peter. He said, "Lord, you know everything. Therefore, you know that I love you."
And I wonder why did Jesus ask Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Since Jesus knows everything.
Was it for us? Was it just for Peter or the other disciples or all 3? That's another story. That's not the portion of scripture that I'm going to talk to us about.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. I'm not going to be long, but something in Acts chapter 10 with Peter and another very precious gentleman. Acts chapter 10, and put your hand also on Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 10, begin to read from verse 1. "And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and say unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid," meaning Cornelius was afraid, "and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." Now, let's go down to verse 11. Now, before I touch on Peter, was Cornelius a believer or not? It's going to be difficult for us to say, because most theologians said that he was not.
And up to the last time when we have a study with Brother Fraser, I asked him the question, and the scripture said he was not. And the reason why I'm giving these scriptures, I will not be able to go through the whole thing, but read it slowly at home. And then you will realize that Cornelius knew about the Lord, but he was not saved. His house knows about the Lord. His community knows about the Lord. Because when we continue to read it, Peter, we're going to talk about Peter briefly. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour of the day. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell in a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, and listen to these words very carefully, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which I had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate. I'm going to rest there a moment. It is very important that I stop here. Peter, as a Jew, he knows the scripture, the Old Testament scripture. And this was where Brother Cato touched on that portion of scripture. And my beloved brother Archie. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I think in Leviticus 11, God told Moses to speak to the children of Israel and to tell them what they should eat and what they should not eat as Jews. So Peter knew everything that he should eat and what he should not eat. So when he saw the sheet come down and saw all these manner of animals, birds, and everything, Peter said, "Not so, Lord." No, beloved, we cannot or should not use the word, we can use the word "not so," but not so, Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ can never say anything that is not for our benefit. And when Peter said, "Not so, Lord," Jesus, the Lord said to the angel, when he said, "Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat." When the reason why the sheet came down with the four corners tied is so that Peter could look into it and saw all these manner of animals, things that he knew he should not eat. But God was speaking about us humans, because Peter was not a preacher of the Gentiles. He went to the Jews. The first
great gospel message that Peter delivered
was in Acts chapter 2. When he preached and when he completed the message, over 3,000 Jews got saved. Am I right, brethren? Peter delivered a message. And when he delivered the message, they said to him, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter shouted, I think it's verse 36 or 37 of Acts chapter 2. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the scripture said in another verse close to that, "And with many other words, he ministered unto them." And at verse 40 or 41, the scripture said, "And they were baptized and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayer." That was Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went one afternoon to the temple. And when he got there, there was a man who was crippled, who sat at the gate daily begging. And when he saw Peter and John, he believed he was going to get something. And he stretched out his hands and asked for help. And Peter and John looked at him steadfastly and said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." That's Peter and John. And you move on to Acts chapter 4. And Peter delivered another great message. Great message. And I'm going to ask a question. How many people got saved that day? Shout it out. Don't whisper. How much? 5,000. Is he right? But when you put the 5,000 or 6,000 with the 3,000, you see how many people you got? We got? That Peter delivered the messages of salvation. But I believe most of those people were Jews. But Peter continued to minister the word and to preach the gospel. At one time, they said, put him in prison because they killed Peter's brother. And when the Jews saw that it pleased the people, they put Peter in prison and said, "The next day we'll take care of you." But God expect Peter to preach the gospel to the world. You remember the last command that Jesus gave before he went back to glory? What did he say? "All power is given unto you. Go, therefore, go into all the world." And he named different places where they should go and preach the gospel. And then Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you half the time." No. "And lo, I am with you all the time. Therefore, we are preserved and protected by the word of God." Brethren, I remember some weeks ago, my beloved brother, Grant, was giving out the announcement, and he said he's concerned about our community. Brethren, I am deeply concerned about our community. About 2 years ago, we had a celebration. We have it on there. We were planning to have a celebration. Unfortunately, it did not go the way we wanted it. You know what was my greatest problem, brethren? How many people from our community was going to be attending? And I'm still concerned about that. Jesus Christ put us in this community for one specific purpose. It's not just to take care of those coming from the other side. But it was for those who are in the community. Those of us who are in the community.
When I came here, I came from another church. And when we have Sunday school, we have up to 10 busloads of kids going to picnic. Thank God many of them trusted the Lord. They're not around today. Many of them are in the other parts of the world. And sometimes when I travel, somebody would say, Brother Allwood. And the first thing I said, who are you? And they said, you don't remember me, man, at camp and so forth and so on. I give God thanks for them. But brethren, there are people around us that need to hear the gospel. I was coming on this morning and I turn on the radio and then I have to turn it off. All you can hear is people getting shot and killed. The police officers that we are praying for every day getting shot and killed. The subway that we used to go to work, people are getting shot and killed. Thanks be to God. The virus did not take any one of us. And those of us who travel every day, thanks be to God. Sicknesses and death sometimes with our family and friends. But thanks be to God, we are here still. And God wants us to do like what Peter did. Not to say, not so, Lord. You cannot tell the Lord, we cannot tell the Lord, not so. Everything that Jesus was telling Peter was to tell Peter, Peter, I'm not talking about the food anymore. I'm talking about the sinners around you. Those who need to hear the gospel, like the Ethiopian eunuch. When he read the scripture, he was coming from church. And when he read the scripture, maybe it was a scripture that was given where he was worshiping, but he was reading it, going home. And the Spirit of God sent a brother who was having a crusade, said, go to the wayside and minister to this man. And he stood up by the way and saw the cart coming and heard the Ethiopian eunuch reading the scripture. And he said to him, do you understand what you are reading? And you know what he said? How can I, except someone should guide me? And he went up into the chariot. And I think the travel are distant. And then when he came to water, he said to the preacher, here is water. What does prevent me from being baptized? You know why he asked that question? The preacher preached to him salvation. And preached to him about baptism if you are saved. And the scripture said the both of them went down into the pool or into the river or whatever it was. And he was baptized. And the scripture said that he went on his way rejoicing. Is only heaven will declare how many people got saved through that one man. This man, when Peter went to his house, and Peter confessed and said, listen. If I did not see that vision from God, I would not have understood that I should come and minister to you because as a Jew, I should not be in your house. And Peter showed him from the scripture how God spoke to him. And as Peter continued to speak to him, first of all, before that happened, when Cornelius discovered that Peter was coming, he sent and called his neighbors around and said, come, a man of God is coming here and I want you to hear what he has to say. And when the house was full, Peter came in and confessed the mistake that he made, not considering that the Egyptians need to hear the gospel. We are sinners. We have a name that we call, what Peter called us. Brethren, Peter said, there's neither Jew nor Gentiles. We are one in God. And Peter delivered the word. And while Peter was speaking to them, they began to speak in tongues as a sign that they were not saved yet. And when the preacher, Peter heard the preaching, he said, could anyone forbid water that you should be baptized? And I'm going to close. I see some signs making. And they were all baptized
That tells you the Gentiles receive the word of God and continue to spread the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we need to spread the gospel. Use a tract, use whatever we have. Give a smile and let people talk to you, and you can talk to them and tell them why you're smiling. You go to the job and it is cold and it's a wonderful day. And when they ask you what is so wonderful about the day, don't be afraid to testify and tell them why you are praising God and why the day is wonderful. God love us. And brother and sister, as I said, I'm going to close. We need to get back in our community. One thing that happened to us, and God is a merciful God, so he forgave us. You cannot walk out there and walk into somebody's gate and go and knock the door or ring the bell. The gate outside have a lock on it now. But you know what? We can fold the track and put it into the gate. May God help us. And if you are here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again for our justification. And he's seated on the right hand of God the Father. You know what he's doing? Making intercession for us. God never leaves us. And he will never do that. Okay? Therefore, I'm about to close in prayer. Let us bear in mind that what Jesus Christ did, he did it for the sins of the world. And where we live is a part of the world. Where we go to work is a part of the world. May God help us to spend more time witnessing about the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of you who are on Zoom or radio, do the same thing. Sometimes you are in a house where you have people who are not saved. Don't just tell them to listen, but share the scripture. These scriptures that I gave you, share it with them and see how God works and will work and continue to work in our lives. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, God, for coming into this sin-cursed earth. We thank you for salvation through your Son, O God and Father. We thank you for all that he went through. And it did not stop him. Even on the cross, O God and Father, the two thieves that was nailed on the left and on the right hand, with all the pain that Jesus went through, one of them said, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus was able to say, today you shall be with me. That's the love of God. Lord God and Father, we pray for those visitors that we have this morning. Help them, O God, to learn something from your word, that if they do not know you or they know you but are not following diligently your word, that they will do that before time changes to eternity. And for those of us who understand your word, O God, help us, O God, that we'll not just keep it to ourselves or just into our home, but that we'll spread it so that others who do not know you, others who are dying daily, O God, will get to know you, and whom to know is life eternal. Lord God and Father, we give you thanks. We ask you, God, to bless the rest of the day, the Sunday school, the Bible study, and everything that we have to do before we return home. We ask thy divine blessing, because we ask it all in no other name, but in the precious name of thy Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Like I told you, I cut it short because I